Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We got a call from Arshan, calling in from Chicago, Illinois. Arshan, how are you?
Chris, I am doing wonderful. And first of all, Chris, I really, really appreciate that you had given me a chance, you know, to talk to you.
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm honored. How can I help you?
Chris, the thing is that I finished my college in 2011, didn't have any debt or anything like that, was paying for my college while I was going.
Good job.
Got married in 2012, didn't took out any loans for the marriage, cost me $36,000, paid it out, you know, so didn't have any loans on that either.
That's just the ring, right? 36 is just for the ring, I'm assuming?
No. $36,000, I said, for the whole marriage.
We know 25 of it was the ring. Way to go.
Yeah. Okay, so long story. So, Chris, after that, what happened is that in 2009, me and my brother, we decided that we should buy a house out. So I put down $55,000 from my end. He put down $55,000 for his end, and then we bought the house. Right now, the house is paid off, so technically we don't have any mortgage or anything like that. But from 2013 till now, Chris, 2013, 14, and it's almost 15 is about to end. Chris, I saved up $75,000. Chris, I work in a car business, so in car business there is no 401k, there is no pension plans or anything like that. My wife just started working too, you know. She works at a hospital as a clinical laboratory scientist, you know. So she's making like $50,000, $60,000. She will be making $50,000, $60,000, and I make over $100,000 over here. Saved up some money, and listening to you, listening to Dave, you know, thought about maybe I should start opening up like some sort of a Roth IRA, you know. That would be one thing I was looking at. And the second thing I was looking at, that what should I do with this $65,000, $70,000? Should I buy like a rental property or something like that and recuperate my money from there? Chris, I just want you to elaborate from here, you know, and tell me, give me some feedbacks. What should I do from now?
So you have about $160,000 in your family income. What are you living off of? What is your budget? What's your expenses per month?
My expense is like for me and my wife together, we spend like somewhere around $3,500, you know, for the credit cards. Well, not the credit cards, you know, the gas money and health insurance and utilities and the food and all that stuff.
Okay, so you're living off of roughly $50,000 a year?
Yeah, you can say that.
Wow. So you're going to be saving $110,000 a year.
That's exactly what I'm shooting for. And that's how I gave you this number.
Wow.
That in 2 years, and that time my wife didn't even work.
Wow.
So technically, it was me only who did it.
Man, you are poised and ready to go. If you can keep that cost of living down low, that income is going to be a huge, huge shovel for you to be able to be very successful financially. The first thing I would tell you is you've got that money in savings. Half of it I want you to keep there. I want you to keep at least, and I'm going to say $30,000, just because you could probably get away with 15, but 15 to 30 needs to stay in a money market. It needs to be accessible. It needs to be liquid. It's really insurance. It's not an investment. You want to keep that on hand as a fully funded emergency fund. Now, did I hear you right that you have no other debt?
I don't have any debt.
Okay.
I have $40,000 in credit cards, but they use it for like a gas purpose or something, but yeah. I pay them right away though. I don't keep any money like that.
Let me ask you the question, Arshan. Why in the world are you playing around with a credit card? I mean, you're going to get what, $10 a month? In your world, what is $10?
Nothing.
It's a joke. Like, I would just cut them things up. In your world, it is an absolute joke. So I wouldn't play around those credit cards. I'd get a debit card. I can do everything a credit card can do. I don't care what anyone says. I know you're paying them off every month, but get them out of there. That's crazy. So That's what I would do first. So what we teach is the baby steps. So you've got baby steps 1, 2, and 3 already done. But you're a little behind on your baby step number 4, which is putting 15% towards retirement. Now, you're an overachiever, so you're going to want to do over 15%. Don't do that. 15% towards long-term retirement. So you want to put it in a Roth IRA. You guys still barely qualify for that. You almost make too much money, but Roth IRA, that's $5,500 a year for both of you. So it's 11 grand a year. Do that for sure. Then after that, the remainder of the 15% needs to go towards a growth stock mutual fund. Once you do that, you're now on to baby step 5, and you put money away in an ESA or a 529 plan for your kids. And then after that, you want to pay off your home. You've already done that. So then you can start thinking about, okay, now what? And, you know, rental homes might be good for you. It might be just doing more mutual funds. It might be just doing more of the same. And then you can go more than that. But only start with 15% initially until you've thought through what to do for the future college, if that's what you want to do. But yeah, you're in a great spot. I'm telling you, you've got tons of options. But first and foremost, keep that money liquid, that $15,000 to $30,000, and then start getting involved in the Roth IRA and growth stock mutual funds. Those are the best instruments for you.
Absolutely. I am so appreciated that you told me that. You know, I've been listening to you. I've been listening to Dave. I just want to put it somewhere that I can't even touch it. You know?
Yeah. And let me just put it in perspective for you and all of our listeners. Matthew 6:20 says, "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." The whole point of this investing is not so you can have more money and not so you can buy a bunch of toys later, not so you can live some lavish lifestyle when you retire. Those are all great benefits. Those are all God's rewarding us. But this is you being a manager. These are treasures in heaven. So along the journey, you're going to be very, very wealthy. And the most important thing I'm going to tell you is that you need to give, and you need to, throughout the journey, you need to be giving and giving and giving and giving and storing up treasures in heaven, not just on earth. There's nothing wrong with being financially successful and enjoying what God's blessed you with. But along the journey, man, make sure you're racking up those treasures in heaven, okay?
Absolutely. I really, really appreciate that, Chris. You know, I really appreciate what you told me right now. And hopefully, within 6 months, I will give you my progress where I'm at.
Please do. We'd love to hear.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Arshan.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Email me with your question at chrisonair@stewardship.com or call me at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. So this is a quick email from Jerry. What would you say to a Christian who occasionally buys lottery tickets? Well, folks, you're by now very familiar with our intro to this show, and it says the good, the bad, and the not so brilliant things that we do with life and money. This is a not so brilliant thing. I think it's absolutely crazy. I think it's a complete waste of money. There's a study recently that folks that make under $12,400 actually spend about $645 a year on lottery tickets. Are you kidding me? I don't know if you know this or not, but the odds of winning the lottery are literally about 1 to 125 million. You're 66 times more likely to die from a snake bite. 2,001 times more likely to die in the electric chair. You're 2,200 times more likely to die from a hornet, a wasp, or a bee sting. This will blow you away. You are actually 1.4 million times more likely to die in a car wreck on the way to the gas station to buy the lottery ticket. 1.4 million times more likely. Does all this sound ridiculous? Good. Banking on winning the lottery is about as ridiculous as it gets. And here's what I'd tell a Christ follower also. We are managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. That does not include the lottery. Next, we have Terry on the line calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. Terry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm very, very thankful. How can I help you?
Great. We have a house in Idaho. My husband was stationed out there with the Air Force when we met, and he had it built, and it was finished in 2008 in April, so right before everything kind of went bad. We owe more than what it's worth, and we live in Missouri now. And we've gotten some advice on how to get rid of it that we're not really sure about, so I wanted to see if there were any programs or anything out there. It's a VA loan also.
Okay.
So anything we can do to get rid of it and not lose everything in the process.
Yeah, what is the value?
Real estate agent said it would sell for between 120 and 130, and we owe 145.
And what are the terms of the mortgage?
It's a 30-year.
Okay, and what is the interest rate?
It's 6%.
Well, one of the things you might be able to do is refi that for about 4.25. I don't know if that'll help much, but you'll have to look into origination fees and all that stuff if it, it might not pay off.
Well, we do have renters in it at the moment, and we looked into refinancing once with a different company and seeing that as an income property. Because we do rent it.
That's right.
But the renters, to rent it, we have to rent it for much less than our payment. So we're putting an extra $500 a month into it while we're renting in Missouri.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask next, your monthly loss, and you're saying 500?
525.
All right, and what's your income?
58.
Have you looked into, is it in a possible Section 8 side of town? Probably not for 145, huh?
It's not. No, it's not. It's in a newer subdivision, but the problem with the area is that the Air Force Base is it is downsizing, and there aren't a whole lot of jobs in that area other than the Air Force, so we're kind of stuck.
Probably the best thing I can point you towards is we actually have real estate professionals in that area.
Okay.
And I'd love to point you, just you know, ask them the questions because they know the local market.
Okay.
And they can help you out. But so go to stewardship.com. And we have endorsed local provider real estate brokers that can help you in that area. So all you're going to do is go on the website, go to ELP, which is our endorsed local providers, put in the zip code. Don't put in the one for St. Louis. Put it in for Idaho.
Okay.
And they'll contact you within 48 hours, and you guys can kind of go from there. But okay, you're going to need a local professional to help you through some marketing techniques to get you out of this.
We were advised to short sell. So we have a moral issue with that because at the time, I mean, we can pay our payments. So for us not to pay on a debt that we owe is just not okay with us. So,
well, I mean, that's the reason why I'm pointing you to an ELP is because I don't feel comfortable saying that either. I don't feel comfortable telling anybody to short sell if you have the money.
Right.
So I know there's short sale options out there. I just don't feel comfortable saying that or giving that to you as an option. I took a $10,000 hit a month for 36 months because I was in your same boat on 8 homes at the same time in 2008 to 2011. I know what it feels like. It is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
But I didn't short sell. I had the money.
Yeah.
So I paid those payments every single month. And so that's, I don't know how to tell you anything else, but yeah, you are in a bad spot.
Yeah.
But the local professionals there, they're going to give you all those options that I won't give you. At least you can wrestle with them. And if you have a moral conviction against that, I applaud that. I think that's great that you're sensitive to that. Not everyone has the same convictions, but the fact that you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit moving and speaking to you is huge. And I applaud that.
Okay,
and
sure.
I know right now that in my life in 2015, that I am being rewarded for doing the right thing in 2008 to 2011. I know it. And it's not just financially. There's lots of things that God's blessing me with in my life. And I have no way to prove it. I just know it. I know it spiritually. So
right.
If that's worth your call right there of just affirming that.
That does help, yes.
Yeah, because I know it's tempting. I know it is. And Terry, I applaud you doing the right thing. If you've got the money, pay it. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. And that verse rang in my head for all 3 years as that money sat in my account. And I knew that I had it. And so I stayed true to my vow until there was no money there. So I'm praying for you that you get a renter who can pay a little bit more, you know, or the,
the value just around there. It's hard to rent for anything more.
Yeah.
Find anything. So.
Well, you know, maybe they'll pay a little bit more if it's a lease to own or it's tricky.
Yeah, it is. But I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now, let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Up next is Dan calling in from San Antonio, Texas. How can I help you?
Well, first of all, I appreciate everything you've done. Recommended your program via the Dave Ramsey program. So thank you again for what you do. I have a question for you. I'm in the oil and gas industry, and so I move around quite a bit. So, you know, can't really see myself paying off the home, being that we move every 3 to 4 years. But we've paid off all of our debt other than the house and our vehicle. We only have one vehicle now. We owe about 15 on it. Now, when we moved here recently, we came, we're blessed with some equity from the previous house of about 40K. And so my first question is, being that I owe 15 on this Ford Edge here, should I pull out of that 40K and go ahead and pay that off and just be completely debt free other than the house? Or, so I'll let you answer that first.
Yes. Yes, pay off the car like today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And so that'll leave me with, you know, about, you know, I guess 25 there.
Yep.
For my emergency fund there.
Yeah.
Second question I had was 529. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter and one on the way we've been blessed with recently.
Congrats.
I had a question. Thank you very much, sir. What is your recommendation on that? How much should I be putting away on the 529 every year? Where I'm at.
You could do a 529 or you could do an ESA. I would look into both of those. And of course, you know, if you want to talk to an investment professional, we have endorsed local providers at stewardship.com. They can walk you through that. But first of all, make sure that you're, how much do you make a year?
So I make about 110.
Okay, 110. So we'll just say, yeah, so you need 30K in savings. So for your emergency fund, your gut instinct to have an emergency fund is right. You need to, especially when you are traveling around and you've got a volatile industry. So now you're going to be knocked down to 25. You need to build that back up to 30 as a minimum. 30 to 60K in that savings account. And I think even being volatile, you want 3 to 6 months of your expenses saved. So I'm not sure. I know what you're making a year, but I don't know what your expenses are. Find out what your monthly expenses are, and then you want 3 to 6 months of that. Then you want to start giving 15% towards retirement. You want to make sure that you can, you know, after you retire, that you can be well taken care of. And so I would do that next.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 10% right now. So
good. Yeah. Pop that up to 15%, then start thinking about your 529 or your ESA. And again, you can talk to our ELPs there at stewardship.com.
Okay. So in summation, pay off the car today, then start saving to get my emergency fund back to 30 to 60K. Then get 15% to retirement, then start working on that 529 ESA.
Yeah, because the savings, the emergency fund, I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:20 that in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. So you want to make sure that you've got some money there, like you explained, where, you know, if life throws you a curveball, you're ready. You know, the economy makes a shift. You're in a good spot where you're not having to swipe credit cards to live. And then, you know, when you were talking about retirement, that's a priority because we want to make sure that, you know, Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And so you want to make sure that you have some kind of retirement that you can pass on to the next generation and live off in retirement. You don't want to be a burden to that beautiful two-year-old and that newborn that's coming. So and that's why you want to take care of those things first. In retirement, if you don't have enough money to live, you're in trouble. But if they don't have money to go to school, that's less of an issue. So that's why retirement comes before school. Thanks, Dan.
Well, Chris, appreciate everything you do.
All right, appreciate you. Our next caller is Leanne. She's calling in from Olympia, Washington. Leanne, how are you?
Doing good, praise the Lord. I really love your program. I've really learned a lot. My husband is 60. I am 56. We both are self-employed, and my husband's a carpenter, and I'm a seamstress. My question is, we have two homes, one across the street that we break even with our kids living in there, and the one that we're living now, both of them about $90,000 owing. We have about $30,000 in savings. We make about $70,000 before write-offs for our businesses. We have no debt, but no retirement. What is your best thing for us to do? I'm wondering if we need to pay off the house that we're living in or the house across the street first.
How much is the home across the street? How much is it worth? I know you owe $90,000, but what's it worth?
It's probably worth about $185,000, $190,000.
Okay. I would start contributing to retirement as soon as possible. I know that's not part of your home question, but I would do that as soon as possible, especially
like a Roth.
Yes, yeah, that'd be a Roth, and then other growth stock mutual funds once you get past the Roth cap.
Okay.
But I'd start doing that. But as far as the home, I would pay off your primary residence first before the rental home. The big question we all got to ask ourselves when we're in this scenario is, if everything were to go half wrong with your finances, where would you live? Well, you'd live in your primary residence. If everything were to go totally wrong and just everything just completely bust, what do you need? You need a primary shelter. So I would take care of that first and get that paid off as soon as possible.
Yeah, accountants tell me because we're self-employed that we wouldn't be able to take those write-offs.
Well, I would never make your decision based on write-offs.
Yeah, I just, for security reason, I just had to hear that from you.
Yeah.
To verify that, yes, that's what I was kind of thinking, that we need to get our primary home paid off that way. If anything happens, we have our home.
Yeah, a lot of times our write-offs, they feel so good at tax time, but we're spending $10,000 in interest payments so that we can write off $2,500 in savings.
Right, I know. I know.
We just got to remind ourselves of that, that's all.
Yeah, well, I'm only paying 3.12 interest.
Good.
Yeah, and then the one across the street is 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's good if you're comparing it against what everyone else is paying, so that is good. But at the end of the day, interest paid is a penalty, interest received is a reward. So we want to get on the right side of that as soon as possible, and I would start with your primary residence.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Leanne, I want to do one more thing for you. This is kind of a curveball for you, but I want to give you the Legacy Journey. I want to give you that book, and so I'm just going to mail it to you. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
The legacy, where you're at right now, you guys are making a good income, and you're out of debt, and you're about to start killing your retirement and dive into that. You're about to be in a really good spot where you can be very, very generous, and so this Legacy Journey helps you through that stage of life, and I just want to give it to you. So enjoy it, and then pass it along.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, well, when we hang up, the team will get your address and we'll mail it to you. Okay, Leanne?
Okay, thank you. May the Lord bless your endeavors.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Folks, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." So that's the verse that came to my mind when I said pay off the primary residence first. We've got to make sure we take care of our own household first and then go on from there. If we don't take care of our own household, well, then we can't take care of anybody. And we know God, and God is the one that takes care of people, not really us, but He can do it all on His own, but He chooses to use everyday people like you and I to reach out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Pretty cool privilege. Well, folks, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show hosts ask you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and your family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or rating on iTunes? It's been an honor to serve you today. And as always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings, His way, and for His glory. God bless you.